Oh, wait, you know what? I just realized. How do I say your last name?
Well, it's Spildy.
Spildy.
Yep. You should have seen my name before I got married.
What was it?
Petrushevsky. 13 letters.
Petrushevsky,
Yeah,
wow. So,
Polish.
Spildy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Spildy.
Okay, so now we actually are recording.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm not even gonna edit this. Well, welcome to the Venus Index Podcast. I'm John Hartman, and with me is Alicia Spildy, and we've had some interesting technical issues up until now with her computer and trying to Skype and a few other things. Anyways, she came in second place in the open. Go over if you're just listening on iTunes, go to venusindex.com and check out her pictures. And I loved the picture lying down with your feet on the bench. Whose idea was that?
That was actually the photographer's idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that photo too.
It's good. It's good. We're working on some software for the next contest. There's going to be, instead of my like makeshift zip all the files and send them to me, we're actually going to have like a login dashboard where you upload all your pictures and track everything. And I'm going to use that as an example of a cover model shot. Because like we're going to do, the standard front, side, and back, right?
Yeah.
But then we're going to have like six spaces for just creative shots. And so I'm just going through and grabbing whoever put up a creative, like everyone kind of did their own thing, so but I like that one, so that's going to be one of the examples.
Well, thank you. That's so exciting to find out.
It's kind of cool, eh? Well, it's just like it's interesting. Everybody comes up with stuff that like I don't. Every time some people come up with something I wouldn't have thought of, so I want to put up as many of the cool creative ones as possible. So.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out, looking at that picture after it was taken, what workout movement was I doing? Because in that position, what could I have done? You know what I mean? In
Well, it's like
a
a twi- I don't know. It looks like a twisting crunch, I guess.
yeah.
But it doesn't have to be. The point of the cover model pics isn't for to look like you're working out. It's just to show your body off, right?
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah.
All right. So, well, we got some kind of template we're trying to follow here. So, well, let's start with the history, kind of where we normally start. Your age and your training history, if you have any, and diet history, if you have any.
Okay, well, I'm 27 years old, and I actually started lifting weights when I was pretty young. I did like shot put and discus in junior high, and so
Shot put and discus.
yeah,
Wow.
and so I didn't want to run, but I wanted to be in track. So then I just hung out in the weight room, and then we went to the track meets on the bus and had all the fun. But I didn't have to run, so it was like a major win. And so I lifted weights starting back then, and I kind of worked out all through high school. And then in college, I was like cardio queen. Just I
Okay,
had
so
a
why did that change?
Because I was really intimidated by the men at the gym.
But not when you were younger training like in
Right,
that
because
style?
my friends
Because
were.
you were in kind of like a male dominated the field events you were doing.
Right, but my best friends were also doing the same events. So like, a group of us girls would get around the bench press, and we'd all help each other do that, and then we'd move on to the next thing. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't.
So it was socially sort of acceptable and safe.
Right.
So you just sort of flowed where everything felt still socially
Exactly.
comfortable. And
Exactly.
so when you got to university, that flow turned from shot putting to
Yeah, the treadmill
cardio.
and
Right.
elliptical.
Even though you totally knew your way around the weight room.
Yes. I could have, I could have easily gone around and done all that, but I just, going
That's
there by
interesting. So
myself.
even though you knew what you were doing, like, okay, so were you confident that you knew what you were doing in the weight room, or were you like, gee, maybe I don't know, or?
No, I was confident because I'd had all the books about it. I'd been weightlifting for several years.
Did you have like any decent coaching at that point? Like at least somebody who taught you?
Yeah, the track coach who
Okay.
teaches
So that's
everybody.
interesting. So it wasn't an intimidation that you were going to go in there and look like a fool. You just didn't want to be in there with the people in there.
Right.
That's an insight I would have never even thought of. I'm surprised. To me, I would have only ever considered people being intimidated flat out because they just don't know what they're doing, but
Yeah,
it,
just
well.
yeah. So then I did lots of cardio in college, and I've done I don't know if I can drop this name, but the people that make the can I say Beachbody?
Anyone say whatever you want.
Okay. Well, anyways, I've owned every Beachbody program probably ever created, and since then have sold every Beachbody program on eBay. Because I just, I don't like them. You know, they make all these promises, and I don't know, there's something about them that I just couldn't commit to. I would get so excited, and then I just, you know, within two...
Would you get anywhere through it?
The only one that I got through almost all the way was Chalene Extreme, and I just thought that was interesting because it was the weightlifting one for women. And I actually really do like that program out of all of them. I think that one is the best, but I couldn't do any of the Turbo Jam or cardio-based programs. I thought they were awful. So
they're kind of, once you saw how they are put together, they just felt like, too much of a gimmick?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, and also with your background, I guess, once you've actually pushed weights for real, you won't be all that impressed with stuff that's sort of, you know, a step down from it or gimmicky.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Well, that's interesting.
So
okay, so.
So then, let's see, where am I at now? So I'm doing the
college,
thing.
You're kind of doing
done with
cardio.
College. Okay, so then, so the last couple of years I was doing Chalene Extreme, and then last year I was just looking for something different, going online, and I found Mark's Daily Apple, and I saw people writing about Lean Gains, and then I went to Lean Gains, and that was really interesting to me, and I saw the link for Eat Stop Eat, and then I purchased Eat Stop Eat, and then in one of Brad's emails, he mentioned VI, so that is how I found it, and I purchased it right away, so.
The progression, a lot of people get to us kind of through Eat Stop. I guess Eat Stop Eat's the most well-known thing that as a group that we sort of have. It's the oldest, though sort of the most well understood, or at least in marketing circles. So Eat Stop Eat, was that like new to you, or was
it it was completely new to me. But once I read it, and I read it in one sitting, and everything just made sense to me. It was just, you know, people get so scared about skipping meals and skipping breakfast, and I thought, for stupid, why would you eat if, you know, after reading this, I thought, it's so stupid to eat breakfast if you're not hungry. You know what I mean? Or, you know, there's no problem with skipping meals. You're going to be okay. You're going to make it through. It'll be fine. And
so much of it is in your head and habitual.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So
very little of it has to do with, like, hunger or any of that stuff.
Mm-hmm. So that's been really interesting, just that journey kind of mentally about, you know, it's going to be okay if you skip a meal.
Yeah, isn't it weird that you actually have to tell people it's going to be okay?
Yeah. And anybody I've talked to about Eat Stop Eat, which is probably less than 5 people, they've all been just very concerned about my metabolism and this and that. And I just, you know.
Yeah, you learned your lesson right away not to talk to people?
Yes, I did.
Yep. Okay, so then via VI, you just jumped right in, or were you skeptical?
I did. And I wasn't successful, though, the first time around. I don't think I was ready. I think I had too much – well, this probably sounds like an excuse, but I think I had too much going on in my personal life. My grandma was really sick, and we were selling our house, and I just had a 6-month-old baby when I first got it, and I did try to start a contest in May, I think, last May, and I submitted pictures and everything, but within 2 weeks, I was done. Like, I was way too busy. I was, you know.
It just wasn't for you at the time.
Yeah,
well,
it wasn't.
You know what? 2 or 3 other people I've interviewed said the same thing. Like, Olya said it, and I can't remember, somebody else said it, too. It was just a matter of timing when it just sort of all fits.
Yes, I completely agree with that because
to make it through a contest, not to just work out, but to actually like really
just get it done. Like it just everything has to come together, and it just has to be the right time. And like for me, I can remember the day where it just clicked for me. It was November 30th of 2011. It was the day after we celebrated my son's birthday, and I just thought, okay, I just need to do this. This is the time, and I'm going to get serious, and I'm sick of talking about it. Everybody, I kind of have the same story as the other Alicia. She was kind of, her photos from the first contest are what inspired me to start this, and I feel like I was one of those people that was always talking about it too, and just reading all the books, and I had, you know, I have every Eat Clean Diet book, and I have all this and that, and I wasn't doing anything. I was just reading about it.
Oh, you were, like, so you were that girl. The girl who was quote into fitness but wasn't actually.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I could tell everybody.
You didn't walk the walk, but you talked it.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I had all this information.
You know, Alicia got angry at me for the blog post I wrote about that, eh?
Yeah.
Or at least she, in her interview, she mentioned that that really, like, upset her because she was like, oh, is that me?
Yeah.
It was never written at anybody. It was just a lot of, you know,
right,
just the
but it's something
concept.
That needs to be said because, you know, that was me. I know it was, you know, and I just had to get the work done, basically. So, yeah, I started and I'm one of those people where if a little is good, then more is better. So I probably had too big of a deficit, and I think I was probably training too much. I was pretty worn out by the end of the contest because I hit it hard for 4 months. And I enjoyed some food the first week after the contest. I mean, I was so worn out. So, yeah.
How do you feel right now?
I feel great.
Good.
Yeah. So.
So, no harm done. What workouts were you doing?
Okay, I started out with phase one, and then within the first week of the contest, I switched over to two, and I really enjoyed two. But what I did was do the first couple of weeks of phase two, and then go through the pyramids, and then go back to the beginning of phase two. There was just something that didn't click for me with the X sets and the other things. I just really liked the first two.
Well, the intermittent supersets. Well, hey, if that's what fits for you, there's no reason why you can't just redo it.
Yeah, and I loved the pyramids. I just, every time I did them, like got done with a series of them, I had like strength gains from them. And I mean, I could definitely tell that they were doing what they were supposed to. It was awesome.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's going to be stuff similar to that in phase three.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah, I'm working on that right now. Okay, so what did you do for dieting? I guess you didn't have too far to go, right?
No, I didn't. And I didn't lose very much, like, weight, per se. Like, I was down, like, what, 6 pounds from the beginning of the contest to the end. And I think I could have done better if I actually would have eaten a little more. Most days I stayed well under 1,000 calories. And then probably 90% of the days I was looking back at my calendar because I recorded all my calories. And then the other days, yeah, I think I said 1,500. Let's see.
Did you have, like, provisions where you ate more on the weekend, or what did you do there?
No. I just...
You just kept it tight the whole time?
I did. I was very particular. I was measuring all my food in grams, and I recorded it on Livestrong every day. Like, I was very tight with my calories, and I know that there's always an error, but, like, a room for error, but I don't think I had very much error because I was so particular about that.
Right. But looking back, you think you could have got away with a bit more? Was
yes.
it affecting your energy, like your sleep?
It was. I was not sleeping.
Oh, yeah.
I was not sleeping. It was. I would not recommend doing it the way that I did it. Because even if I would have eaten a little more, I know I probably couldn't have lost more than a pound a week at my starting weight. I'm guessing, you know.
I guess you didn't have reverse taper then.
No.
Or not at the time, anyways.
No. So,
yeah.
I think I'd hit it a little too hard. I think I should have eaten more. I think I would have been happier. I think my husband would have been happier.
You might have actually got some sleep. So obviously we could all diet our way or calorie restrict to theoretically to death, right?
Yeah.
Well, not theoretically, we could.
Yeah.
So obviously restriction eventually is the way to lose everything, but you're also going to lose – you're pretty lean. So as you get pretty lean, it does become like – actually, I just spoke with Roberta earlier today, and she was saying the same thing. for her this second contest, it was the idea that not to eat too much, but also not to eat too little. Like, that's the thing she zeroed in on, and that's how she sort of she kind of recomped, right? She didn't really even change in body weight, but her muscle mass changed and her look changed. And I think for you moving forward, that's you need to like learn to not eat too little either, and just sort of fit in between the two now. Like, it's a matter of not it's just right. It's the whole Goldilocks thing. Like, it's got to be not too much, not too little, though. Like, that's obviously now you've obviously learned like what not to do.
Right, exactly. And now going forward, it is hard to like eat more because I've been restricting for so long that it's like, oh my gosh, can I eat this? Like, can I eat 1400 calories today? You know, it's just, it's a, you know, total different mindset. So.
Well, yeah, that was the point of reverse. Do you have reverse taper now?
No.
Oh, you should.
But I think I should probably get it.
I was going to say, cause it solves all of these problems.
Yeah.
It teaches you to like learn to move. It'll give you the guide to move up to. Like, you know, you said now you're saying, man, you probably should have ate more, but you weren't sure. Like, that's it would have told you what to do.
Right.
What it does is it sounds like a pitch for it. But basically, the point is to alleviate this issue of you're kind of in this no man's land again. You're like, uh-oh. Like, is 1400 right or not, right? So the idea is even if, like, I just tell you right now, yeah, that's like right, you haven't had time to train yourself into it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you taper up, you're training yourself into it the whole time.
Right.
So it's just a way to ease into it. But yeah, that's your next challenge then. Because are you happy with where you're at? Oh, well, I guess we can get on to the next question. What's your goals moving forward?
My goals moving forward are I would actually like to get a little more muscle mass. And I'm happy with my weight. I actually, you know, I haven't weighed myself in probably a week or so, but when I look in the mirror in the morning, I know I'm okay. You know, it's
just, do you even care about weight now?
I don't want to care about it, but I think maybe I always will. You know,
do you care about it less?
I do because I know. I mean, I know that I'm good right now. You know what I mean? I when I see myself in the mirror, I know I'm at VI. I know that I'm lean. You know, it's good. But I want to get smaller, but I want more muscle mass. I don't know if that makes sense. I still want to lose body fat, basically.
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying. So you were talking earlier about off air, whatever. When we're in the middle of trying to solve the technical problem, the imposter phenomenon concept.
Yeah.
And you're experiencing some of that right now?
I think so. It's just surprising to, like, I told my email buddy Carla, you know, like, I can't believe it's my head on this body right now. You know, it's just surprising.
And is it now? When did that start? That whole feeling, like, is that?
Probably the last month of the contest, because that's when I started to get pretty lean. Like, I would have visible abs, like, every morning, and, like, when I was doing stuff in the morning, I'd see, like, veins popping out of my arms, and, you know, I just couldn't believe it, really. I was like, where is this coming from, you know? I mean, I knew I was doing the work to get it, but I just couldn't believe that it was actually happening.
Mm-hmm. And this is something no one expects to happen when they get there. Most people think, oh, my God, and then it'll just be all, like, perfect. And then all of a sudden there's this new stress about, is it going to go away?
Exactly.
Roberta was saying the same thing. But it now is the – so I get the way I phrase it is there's two competing voices in your head. There's the voice, like, this isn't you, and then there's the voice that this is me, and it's which one's louder is the – which is kind of where the imposter thing comes from. Is the new voice, the new you voice, getting any louder? Like, are you becoming slightly more comfortable believing that that's going to be you long term, or do you have this feeling that it's going to go away?
No, I mean, I think it's going to be me long term. I do, because I'm more aware of what I'm doing. Like, you know, like when you're eating, like maybe before I would eat until I'm past full, and now, like, I just know, like, okay, I'm going to be miserable if I keep eating this, and, like, you know, I'm more aware of how my body feels and how it works and what's right for it and how it feels good, and So, you know, I think just having those new skills now, I think I'm going to be okay.
Yeah, so you're just more tuned in.
Yeah, yeah,
a little
exactly.
More connected on a whole. Yeah, well, I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, so then during the actual – so sometime in November, the timing just fit together. Like, so throughout the whole process, were you just, like, on a mission, or was there any, like – a lot of people do have a roadblock, but some people don't. Like, did you run into any problems?
Yeah, I was just stressed out the whole time because I thought it should be happening faster, and I think that's why I kept so restrict, you know, such a hard restriction on my diet and training so much, like lifting 3 to 4 times a week and cardio 3 to 4 times a week, and you know, that was tough. And then right at the beginning of March, my son had a seizure from a high fever, and you know, that involved like an ambulance ride to the ER, and I mean, it was so stressful because I, you know, we didn't know what was going on, and we thought he was dying. It was just awful. And like after that happened, I was completely exhausted. Like the last month of the contest was so bad because I just felt like I never recovered from that really stressful event. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, there was like a couple days of emotional eating after that, but then
And are you still not sleeping very well at this point?
I'm actually sleeping a lot better now that I've upped my calories a little bit.
Oh, no, I don't mean that, but at this point of the story.
Oh, I wasn't sleeping at all. I actually probably slept less because, you know, I was so worried about him sleeping in the next room. And so, I ate a lot for a couple days after that. And then I got right back on track with really restrictive calories and, you know, kept working out, but I just, I was dragging, you know, it was hard. So, yeah.
Okay, well, yeah, so that's, still got through it.
I did. I didn't want to stop, and I knew, the right thing to do was to keep going, you know, because I wanted to reach my goal.
And did you, okay, so you obviously took, really good picks. Was that, like, did you pre-book that? Like, how'd you do that?
I did. About 1 month into the contest, I contacted the photographer, and she's the one that does all our family photos, and she's never done these kind of photos before. So I asked her to come alone because she takes photos with her husband as, like, her assistant. So I was like, we'll just do a girls thing, and it'll just be me and her, and we'll have fun because she's one of my friends. And we watched the posing tutorial video together right before we took the photos that morning, and then just took them. I mean,
yeah,
there was not much to it.
Yeah, any good photographer should be able to figure it out along the way. I mean, obviously fitness photographers have a little bit more skill with, like, making muscles pop, but in general, photographers more or less know what they're doing with lighting.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's the biggest thing. And it was just nice to have someone there that's kind of neutral ground. I had my husband take photos every 2 or 3 weeks in the mornings before work, just so I could see how I was doing, because, you know, it's a grind. The contest is a grind, and I wanted to see some sort of progress being made, you know, just to make myself feel better and be like, all right, let's keep going. And
yeah.
It was not a good idea to do that.
Why not?
My husband.
Oh, it just caused some friction between you two?
It's just, you know, you can't say, put the camera up a little more, you know, put it down.
Oh, yeah, yeah. People get frustrated fast.
Yeah, yeah, very fast. So, he's not a photographer, so.
Well, even if someone is a photographer and then they're doing, like, you're getting them to do photography work, like, pro bono, they'll get a little pissed.
Yeah.
So, or for free. They'll just be like, stop telling me what to do. Right?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, no, I hear it. You've got to have somebody who's pretty dedicated to the cause and with some serious patience to...
Yeah, and also...
You know, it's even frustrating when the photographer, the person behind the camera, is telling you, like, it doesn't matter which direction the instructions are going, you get frustrated with each other fast.
Yeah. I think.
Especially when you're like in front of the camera and you're posing and you get tired. Mm-hmm. And then the person taking the picture is like, oh, here, no, move here. No, no, just stay right there. And you're like, I don't, this is uncomfortable. I don't want to stay like this anymore.
Oh, yeah. I was sore for several days after the photo shoot because, well, for one, I, you know, was doing some heavy lifting before the photographer came just to get a bit of a pump. And then holding the weights during the photo shoot. Yeah, now I know why fitness models hold lightweights. Basically.
Oh yeah, because well that was something back when we were at Muscle Tech when we did like some photo shoots with like the big huge bodybuilders.
Mm-hmm.
Like all the magazine pictures of fitness competitors or bodybuilders, but specifically bodybuilders when they're like super super lean when you can see like every little muscle.
Mm-hmm.
That's like right after a contest when they're completely depleted and when they're like water depleted too, which is no condition at all to be lifting weights in because you can cramp up like super fast.
Yeah.
So the photographers are like, no, go pick up the 150-pound dumbbells like this because like you're a big guy and it looks cool in the pictures. And then the bodybuilders are saying, like, I can't pick those up right now. Like, I'll cramp up and mm-hmm. You're going to be taking me to the hospital. And then, so that's why in those pictures, a lot of those pictures, you see these enormous men lifting like 30-pound dumbbells because anything heavier and they'll either tear a muscle or cramp up and end up in the hospital. And then the photographer's like, well, this looks stupid. Like, how come you're lifting such light weight? And he's like, you don't know what this feels like. I actually can't pick it up. I remember there was a photo shoot where me and Pilon had to pick the weight up for the guy and put it in his hands.
Oh my gosh.
And then the picture was him holding the weight like a deadlift. Like it was like the top, but he only had it in his hands at the top.
Oh,
what you can't see is us on either end holding the bar. Because he's like super lean. It was like the day after a contest, but he's like depleted. So he can't actually pick that up.
Wow.
Like he physically, when he's not depleted, he's super strong. He can pick it up no problem, but not in that state.
That's crazy.
And so to make the picture look cool, we had to be there helping lift everything for him.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's the same thing. It's like just enough weight to make it, just to make the muscle move, but nothing of any actual weight. Otherwise,
I mean,
just can't do it when you're depleted.
Right. Exactly.
All right, so you were covert about Eat Stop Eat. Were you covert about this whole process?
Yes,
I mean, obviously your
was.
Husband.
I did not. The only person that knew about the contest until the end. Well, for one, the photographer knew, but I told her to not tell anybody. My husband knew, and then people like close to me, like my family, like my mom and like my mother-in-law. They were starting to comment. That I was getting skinny or that, you know, that I wasn't eating very much or what's going on. And I finally, I didn't want to have to make excuses, so I did tell them. But I'm pretty sure they didn't tell anybody, and they probably still haven't. But
have they even seen your pictures?
I showed my mom a few of them. I didn't show my mother-in-law. My husband saw my photos. And then anybody that's been to the Venus website has
right,
seen
them.
Right,
and the rest of the world. But
otherwise, nobody knows.
Right.
Still.
Okay. And so you kept it under wraps, and that probably served you well. Did was there anybody pushing back?
You
just kept a good wraps on it.
Well, I mean, the people that I told after I told them were very supportive. The person that I have to thank the most is my husband because he really put up with a lot. You know, I wasn't sleeping. I was making meals that he will probably never want to eat again, you know, because I was still trying to have us all eat together, but it was like chicken every night. And like, yeah. You know, I mean, it wasn't easy on him. It was probably right. Just as hard on him as it was on me. So.
Well, I mean, that's nice of him to follow you along like that. I mean,
yeah.
Some people, their biggest pushback is their significant other.
Yeah, yeah, he was good.
All right, so then, well, I mean, that sounds like you kind of avoided a lot of the major mistakes some newbies would have run into. All right, well, then, what would you? This is the time where you give your advice to other people. Did you use the forum, by the way?
Did you use the community? I did. I used the forum. I posted in my blog mostly towards the beginning of the contest and then towards the end. Like I said, like the middle of the contest, it just was it was just a grind, and I just felt like I was just getting the work done, and I had nothing to say really about it. I just wanted to get it done. You know what I mean? I mean, the only thing I would have said was that I'm tired, and I'm hungry, and, you know, I'm sore, and, you know, I'm going to be able to say the same thing tomorrow, so, you know, why complain about it?
Oh, yeah.
But, I used the forums, and then I had my email buddy, Carla. I couldn't have done this without her because we emailed back and forth every day, and she was like the rational voice that I needed to hear because my personality is just more high stress. I would say that I'm wound pretty tight, basically. I worry about things, and just being able to vent that stuff out to her, and then she would like, you know, calm me down, I guess, and I would just
talk you off the ledge, eh?
Yeah, exactly. So that was the biggest help.
Right. All right. So then, what advice would you give to other people who are trying to? Well, for I know the first thing: don't restrict as hard as you did.
Right. I would just say make sure you use the forums, or at least find one really supportive person that has similar goals to you, because that will make all the difference. And just keep going, because it's not forever. And then when you get to your VI, you know, it's not easier. It's different. It's easier. I don't know how to explain this. Like, you can eat more food, basically. There, I said
it's. I got a real technical concept here. I don't really know how to. There, so you can eat more.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's basically just what you're trying to arrive at. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's worth it. You know, it was really hard, but I'm glad I did it. It was a learning experience. Like, I learned a lot about myself, and especially just the weeks after the contest, because like one of the things that I thought. And I think a lot of people think this when they're on the journey to lose weight, is that when you get to this magic number or this certain point that everything's going to be better and you're going to have, like, sky-high self-confidence and, you know, I don't know if men go through that, but I think some women do. And, like, when I got to that number, like, my life didn't change, you know what I mean? Like, everything was the same, but I was more fit and I looked better. So I just think that now the mental emotional part has to catch up.
Yeah, there's it's funny, like, your expectations can precede how fast your body gets there, and then when your body gets there, then your mind's behind catching up to your body. So it's like,
right,
your mind and body throughout a transformation are never on the same page.
Yeah, and that sucks. Like,
well, one's that's like hard. You can imagine and want the transformation to happen so much faster than physically it can, and then once it physically happens, your mind can't perceive that it's happened.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So in both cases, you're like playing – at the beginning, your body's your slow running partner trying to catch up to your mind, and at the end, your body's there and your mind can't catch up to that. That's your new body.
Exactly.
It's kind of as if that's actually going to happen. Then you get there and you're like, you got to be kidding me. Like, this is where I wanted to get to, and now I'm not used to being here. So, yeah, it's – Well, that's a good instructional. It's a good thing for people to understand that when they get there, that's the next.
Yeah.
Like you said, it's not easier. It's different. It's true.
Right.
It is just different.
Right.
And then when both things sort of come together, as you know, as it will in the coming weeks and months for you, then that's when sort of that new calm sets in.
Mm-hmm.
That
yeah.
It's not going anywhere. It's way less effort to stay there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the ultimate goal, is the calm.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Okay. So, do you have anything else?
Not really. I don't think so.
Okay.
So,
oh man, how do I see your last name again?
Spildy.
Okay. So, for Alicia Spildy, I'm John Barbin, and that's your Venus Index podcast.